أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome once again to Islam in Focus. Today we have our sixth program on Jesus, the beloved messenger of Allah. And our topic today will be on ascension and the return of Jesus. I'm your host, Rishad Nimish, and here with me from St. Mary's University is Dr. Jamal Bedawi. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dr. Jamal, for the benefit of our viewers, could you give us a summary, please, of last week's program?
Certainly. Last week's program focused mainly on the ministry, the end of ministry of Jesus, peace be upon him. And we indicated that the Quran is quite clear. That's in Surah 4, passage 157 and 158, that Jesus was not killed or crucified. It was indicated, however, that this does not mean a categorical rejection of anything pertaining to the story of the crucifixion, at least insofar as the existence of a conspiracy to kill him, and that something happened that might have given the illusion that it was Jesus actually who died on the cross, or else the Quran would have not said that the Israelites were boasting of killing him. We indicated that the reason for the Muslim not accepting the common story about crucifixion is not that the Muslim believe that it is dishonorable for a prophet to be martyred. The Quran speaks about prophets who have been martyred before. But the main reason the Muslim believe in that it is in the word of Allah, the Quran, and Allah knows best regardless of what humans say. We try to understand the meaning of illusion that might have taken place that has given the impression that Jesus was crucified. And we indicated that the Quran does not give this detail. And we have to make a distinction between the exact wording of the Quran as the word of Allah and the interpretation made by jurists or human beings, especially those who said that maybe someone substituted for him. But the Quran simply says, شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, which means it made to appear to them, or it appeared to them as such. But we indicated, just by way of interest, that there have been several, as many as perhaps 5 to 7 even, sects in early Christianity who did not actually believe that it was Jesus who was crucified. We also indicated that one controversial gospel that we did not discuss much, and maybe we can come to that later, called the Gospel According to Saint Barnabas, which was discovered about the 16th century and translated into English in 1907, and also to the Nag Hammadi scrolls discovered in Egypt and made available in English in 1977. In both of these documents, old documents, or allegedly old documents, I should say, to be careful, the story again is that it was not Jesus who died on the cross. Now, we also tried to correct a common misconception that some believe that the Quran actually states that Jesus predicted or prophesied his death on the cross and his resurrection, and we again indicated that from the text of the Quran there is no ground for this at all. And finally, we indicated that the Quran describes the end of the mission of Prophet Jesus using an Arabic term, mutawafika, and he said the word mutawafika is quite different from the Arabic word like mata. Mat means simply died. But mutawafika poses some difficulty in interpretation because of the difference between the lexical or literal meaning and the metaphoric meaning of the term.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, but I want to ask you at this point, how would the variation of the meaning of that term affect the interpretation of the Quran in this particular issue?
It affected quite significantly because, of course, the word, like I said before, if the Quran used the term that Jesus mata, that could have only been understood to mean died. But, of course, in the context of the Quran, does not necessarily mean died on the cross because the Quran negated that. But the term mutawafika, if you take the lexical meaning, it means to recall from mission, that a term that has been completed, to finish something. Which in that sense could mean that Allah is addressing Jesus or promising him that, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ, I am going to finish your mission on earth, I'm going to recall you from mission among the Israelites. This does not necessarily imply that he either died on the cross, which is negated elsewhere in the Quran, nor does it even imply that he died even shortly afterwards. If you take the metaphoric meaning of the term mutawafika, which means to take, not the mission or to finish the mission, but to finish your life or to take away your life or your soul, causing you to die, if that meaning is taken, obviously again it does not mean at all causing you to die on the cross, because that was negated explicitly in Surah number 4 in the Quran. But it might be like Al-Alusi said, Mustawfi ajalak, that is, I'm completing your term and letting you die a natural death, but not to let your enemies kill you. It could also mean that causing you to die later. So the metaphoric meaning could apply a possible later death, but not on the cross. It cannot mean on the cross on the basis of other verses in the Quran.
Now, what is meant by later? Is there any indication when, for example?
Okay, that again could have two meanings, and one has to be honest again in distinguishing between what the Quran specifically say and what people try to understand from the Quran. As far as the Quran is concerned, there's no indication. As far as interpretations, some said that it could have meant that Jesus was saved from the crucifixion, that Allah took him in some safe place, and then he lived like any human being and died. So that means maybe within a few months or years he died. However, I cannot find any conclusive evidence of that interpretation in the Quran. I'm not saying it has no validity at all, but I'm saying simply that it is just a matter of interpretation, really, but not something that you can base on a conclusive evidence. But it could also mean, or later could mean, which is the opinion of the majority, the great majority of Muslim mufassirin, or those writers on the exegesis of the Quran, is that Jesus will be or will die after the second coming to earth, and after he declares his unique and exclusive humanity and his servitude to his creator Allah. That in fact could mean that Allah extended the life of Jesus until the end of the time, and that he will not die until he comes back in the second coming. There is, interestingly enough, one saying attributed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, narrated in Ibn Abi Hatim, in which it is said that the Prophet said to the Jews that Jesus did not die and he is coming back to you before the Day of Judgment. It's quite an interesting, you know. I must say, however, that this saying is not among the ones that are rated as the highest of authenticity. It's called marfu'. That's again a big issue itself about the degrees of hadith, but it is less than the highly authentic hadith, but it is quite interesting, especially as we compare it when the program unfolds with other references also in the saying of the Prophet about the second coming of Jesus.
Dr. Bedawi, I'm sure our viewers will be very interested to find out, as I certainly am, if there is any explanation in the Quran as to what happened to Jesus after Allah Ta'ala saved him from crucifixion.
The answer to that question can be found more particularly in two passages in the Quran. The first one is in Surah number 3, passage 55, and the other one is Surah number 5, passage 158. Indeed, one of them is a promise of saving him from the cross. The other one is mentioning of how that promise was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take the first reference. The first one, it says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And when Allah said, O Jesus, I am, again, mutawafika, which means either causing you to die or completing your term and mission. Could carry both meanings. Mutawafika, and raising you unto myself. and cleansing you, that is from the deeds of the unbelievers. Now, the question here of raising, what does it mean to say raising you up? Now, the interpretation or the understanding of what the word raise means would have to be within the context of the Quran and the Quranic usage of the term you raise. In the Quran, we find that the same term raise is used to refer to raising the good deeds. For example, in Surah 35, you know, we're talking about, it talks about how Allah raises the good deeds of those who are doing it. It doesn't mean necessarily physical lifting. In Surah 24, passage 36, it speaks also about how Allah raises the mosques or places of worship. Of course, not physical, but means raise in status. In Surah 58, passage 11, the Quran speaks about raising, i.e. the status, not necessarily physically, the status of knowledgeable people. So that's one meaning, the raising in status. Secondly, raising also is used in the Quran to refer not to the physical body, but to the soul. Because, of course, after death, the physical body doesn't really count much. It has no significance. The most important part, of course, is the soul. And we find references in the Quran, for example, when both in the Quran and the saying of the Prophet, about how the souls of good people ascend into heaven. But, of course, when you say the person ascended to heaven, it doesn't mean physically, it means his soul. So that could mean, again, that the soul of Jesus would be raised up to heaven. A third meaning, of course, is the very literal meaning, to take it raising both in body and soul. And I should hasten to say that none of these explanations is really going too far or against the common usage in the Quran, and that even the issue of raising by body and soul, while it is not very clearly stated, is something that cannot be excluded on the basis that we cannot understand how it could happen, because nothing is impossible for the Creator. I know that some people might sometimes say, all right, if Allah raised Jesus both in body and soul, what is the importance of the body, physical body, to remain alive in heavens or in up for hundreds of years? I must say again that without any miracle at all, even one person we all know mentioned in the Quran and the Bible, Prophet Noah, lived for nearly 1,000 years, 950 years he lived on this earth, and there was no miracle involved. It is quite possible, and not unlikely at all, that Allah will give and extend the life of Prophet Jesus twice as much at that time, 2,000 years, 3,000 years or more, especially that this is a miracle, unlike the normal life of Noah on this earth. I think for both Muslims and their Christian brethren, they are familiar with the story of the so-called seven sleepers, known to Muslims as Ahlul Kahf. The people went into the cave. They stayed there for 300 years, or 309 according to the Islamic calendar, living there without any food or drink. And they were like in a state of sleep, and they still were alive. And this was right here, even on earth. It is not very strange that Allah extend the life of anyone even for more than that, for thousands of years. In fact, the Quran itself testifies to this fact, that Satan, after he was dismissed from paradise, he said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi ba'athun. He asked Allah to delay his life, or to keep him alive until even the end of the time. So Satan even was living all that time, let alone a holy prophet who is honored by Allah, like Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. What I'm saying here is that one should not try to over-rationalize whether he is a Muslim or not. To say that there is no sense of a physical body of the human being Jesus be lifted up in heaven, it is possible, and the domain of Allah is so wide, we don't know where he took him. We here, even today, are still arguing as to whether there is life on other planets. Right. So this is a matter that is even beyond the physical sciences, and one should not dismiss that as a possible possible explanation of what happened to him.
Did any other person ascend to the heavens other than Jesus?
Well, since your question is general, I'll answer it both from the standpoint of the Quran and the saying of the prophets, what happened in the days of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also from my limited knowledge also of the Bible. But as far as other persons going up to heavens, there is reference, allusion to that in the Quran and in many saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that Prophet Muhammad did ascend to heaven. And this is known as the incident of the night journey and ascension, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And there are lots of evidence on that. This is not the focus of the topic, but there are lots of evidence that it was spiritual and physical. Of course, we all know that after ascension to heaven, Prophet Muhammad came back, which is even more important than staying there. Because to come back means that we can establish our own ascension as human beings with Allah, because he came to teach us how to, you know, to aspire and to reach for our Creator, which is a more significant aspect as far as humanity and their needs are concerned. But in addition to this, we find that there is one passage in the Quran that speaks specifically about raising a person. But again, like the other verse about Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, one cannot say that it means only this. That appears in Surah number 19, the chapter known as Mary, from the name of Mother of Jesus, especially in passages 56 and 57. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. That is mentioned in the book Idris. Idris is believed to be the equivalent in the biblical terms to Enoch, E-N-O-C-H, Enoch. Mentioned in the book Enoch, who was a man of truth and sincerity, a prophet, and we raised him, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ, the exact term used to Jesus, and we raised him to a lofty station or place. The wording of that passage in the Quran gave rise to different interpretations, the same way that the passage about Jesus also gave different meanings or interpretations. For example, Ibn Kathir, one of the famous Mufassirin or interpreters of the Quran, and also in Al-Jalalain by Jalal al-Din Asyuti, a famous scholar also, they speak both about raising of Idris or Enoch physically. In fact, one of them traces his interpretation to one of the very early scholars by the name of Mujahid, who said that Jesus was raised, Enoch was raised, and he did not die in the same way that Jesus was raised. Of course, again, we are not certain as to whether it could only mean that, or could mean, like we said also in the case of Jesus, raising in status. As far as the biblical references to that, it is interesting to note, and maybe we might come back to this quotation later. In the second book of Kings in the Old Testament, second book of Kings in chapter 2 in verses 11 and 12, it describes what happened to Elijah, and it says, and I quote, "And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. The wording here is even very decisive, because it speaks about physical raising, not a wording that could be interpreted as raising of the soul or raising of status. It is interesting to notice that in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, verse 13, he speaks as if he's not aware of that quotation in the Old Testament, and he says nobody else was raised to heaven, even though the Old Testament is quite clear on that. But in any case, whether the raising was in body or in body and soul, definitely there is an element of miracle there, a miracle of saving a prophet at the last minute, an indication, as the Quran states, that Allah is the best of planners, that people can conspire against his prophets, but if Allah wills to save their lives, he can do this. And just by way of final remark, which is quite interesting, that very similar miraculous rescue took place also for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Again, that's a big topic in itself, but for the benefit of those who are not familiar, the Prophet was pursued, and at the night when he was supposed to be assassinated, and the assassins, the would-be assassins, were lining up outside his house, he went out miraculously and they could not see him. He went to the cave of Tawr, where he stays for 3 days there, and at one point the pursuers were just at the edge of the cave, but again they were miraculous. Again, we need not go into details right now, but miraculously again they could not see him, and something there appeared that misled them or pushed them aside from that particular place. So this is again one other type of miracle. If Allah wills to save his prophet, he can. If he wills him to be martyred, fine. But as in the case of Jesus, the Quran is quite clear on that. He was not the one who was killed.
Let us examine another important issue here. And by that, I'm referring to the second coming of Jesus, in which you alluded to a little while earlier. Now, first of all, how does Muslim belief in the second coming of Jesus relate to the belief that Muhammad was the last prophet of Allah?
Okay. I appreciated the question because, again, they might, on the surface, superficially, they may appear to be some inconsistency. How come in previous programs, you know, we said that Muhammad is the last and final messenger of Allah, and now here is another messenger coming, or prophet? No, you see, the fact of Prophet Muhammad being the seal or the last of all prophets means that no human being will come after him in the capacity of being a new prophet, a new messenger, receiving a new revelation, or having a new holy book to replace or supersede a previous revelation. Now, according to Muslim belief, the second coming of Jesus, peace be upon him, is not in the capacity of a new prophet, really, nor superseding the Quran, the last revelation, which has been preserved fully, perfectly, nor as a substitute for Islam, as he superseded the Torah, for example, in his time, but as a follower of Islam in its complete form. And I think we mentioned before that Islam means the religion of all of the prophets, the same divine revelation that all prophets from Adam to Muhammad, peace be upon them all, taught, that he will be coming under the leadership of the last and greatest of all of these messengers, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, i.e. he will come a Muslim as other prophets were Muslims before him. I think the problem perhaps will become more clear when we discuss in some more detail the nature of the second coming and what activities will take place. But as far as his coming, it's not superseding the last revelation. It's part of it.
Now I'd like to ask what I think is an interesting question anyway. Now, would you consider the second coming of Jesus as a possible point of agreement between Islam and Christianity?
Well, I do not wish to approach this question with either undue optimism or pessimism. I think, as we have been used to do in this program, and I do hope that the viewers appreciate this, that one would like to discuss things with more open heart and open mind, but also with some candidness and honesty. On one hand, I should say that there is definitely one area of possible agreement or meeting between Muslims and their Christian brethren, and that is at least the acceptance by both that Jesus is coming again, one. Secondly, that his coming will be close, somewhere close to the end of the days, the end of life on this earth, close to it. Three, that his coming will be very significant, will be very useful, because it will bring a great deal of peace to the conflict among humanity, the various members of human race. But on the other hand, there are differences, of course, some of which are quite essential. And the basic point really relates to his capacity. In what capacity is he coming back? What is the nature of that second coming? My humble understanding of the Christian theology is that Jesus' second coming is in the capacity of God or as a divine being to rule and judge, and that this will be the final judgment. That is to judge even those who are dead and alive. So that's the end of it. That understanding obviously is based on some other aspects of the common Christian theology that is related to the issue of Trinity, or at least the divinity of Jesus as the Son of God or God in human form, whichever way it has been explained. As far as Muslim understanding, there is a major difference there, because the Muslim believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, in his second coming, is coming not as God, because he was never God, never even claimed to be divine, but he is coming as one of the greatest prophets of Allah. It has nothing to do with the notion of God incarnate. And of course, that in turn is very much consistent with the Muslim understanding about the nature of Jesus, about the attributes of deity of Allah, the creator of all, and the fact that there is no such concept in Islam as, Son of God in the way it has been interpreted to attribute divinity to Prophet Jesus. May peace and blessing be upon him.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jamal. Actually, we have another topic, but I really don't know if this would be a proper time to go into our proper topic. I hate to cut you off in the middle of a new issue. But maybe I would like to proceed here. Now, let's examine the second coming of Jesus from the Islamic point of view.
Mm.
Okay? By that I mean, first of all, is there any direct mention mm-hmm. of that in the Quran?
Well, in terms of the second coming, again, as we have used to do always, again, we have to make a clear distinction between the exact wording in the Quran on one hand and the interpretation given to it. The reason I mentioned before that about Muslim belief in the second coming of Jesus is that this represents the majority understanding of Muslims throughout history. But again, to be very accurate about it, I must say that in the Quran there is no conclusive passage or verse which say, for example, that Jesus is coming again. However, there are two verses in the Quran which are interpreted to refer to the second coming of Jesus. Maybe I can at least touch on one of them or just introduce it, and perhaps if we don't have time we can pursue that later. The first one appears in Surah number 43, and that is passage number 61, and it says about Jesus, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. This is rather difficult to translate, because it says, and he, or it could mean it, إِنَّهُ could mean and he or it, and I'll explain that later, is a علم. علم means also knowledge, literally, but could mean also a sign for the hour. Therefore, have no doubt about it and follow me. Follow me here refers to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is a straight way. In other words, if you take the translation now, and we can perhaps leave it at that, and he, that is Jesus, or it, and we'll talk about what it could mean, is a knowledge or sign. Both words are possible, knowledge or sign for the hour. Therefore, have no doubt about it and follow me, that's follow Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is a straight path. That needs some explanation,
yeah.
And what context was this verse revealed to, and how it was interpreted, but perhaps you can catch up later.
Yeah, maybe continue. I was afraid to cut off in the middle. Thank you very much, Dr. Jamal. Thank you all for joining us here in Islam in Focus. Hope to see you next week, inshallah. From all of us, assalamu alaikum.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول